Hello, lovelies. I'm quickly jumping in here before the start of today's episode to bring you all a super exciting announcement. On the 21st and 22nd of September this year, 2024, I am going to be attending CrimeCon UK in London, which is partnered by True Crime. I was very lucky to be able to go last year, and I'm so excited to be going this year as a creator. CrimeCon is a weekend-long event dedicated to all things true crime, so think discussions with detectives, pathologists, live podcast recordings, and being able to meet some of your favorite creators. If you'd like to join us, you can buy your tickets directly from the CrimeCon website, and you can claim 10% off any ticket with my code Caitlin. That is Caitlyn, all in capital letters. I have popped a direct link to the website in the link tree, which you can find in the description of this episode. I'm so excited to see you there. And with that being said, let's jump into today's episode. Hello, lovelies. My name is Caitlin, and welcome to another episode of True Crime with Caitlin. Today, we're going to be talking about a case which involves a man who murdered a police officer and then did the unthinkable to his body. This is the murder of PC Gordon Semple. Today's case takes place in April 2016. The residents of Peabody Trust, South Wark Street Estate, London, were beginning to notice a foul odour coming from a neighbour's flat. The caretaker of the building had noticed the smell initially when it was still quite faint, and he used some bubblegum-scented air freshener to try and get rid of the smell. However, as the days went on, the odour was getting worse. A neighbour named Steve Harris joined the caretaker to the flat that they believed the smell was coming from. They lifted open the letterbox, and the pungent odour attacked their noses. The caretaker looked to Steve, saying, quote, "Do you know what it smells like? It smells like a dead body." No one had recalled seeing the occupant of the flat recently, and they worried that he could be dead inside. The caretaker and Stephen knocked on the door but got no answer, and so the caretaker said he was going to call the police. Shortly afterwards, while having a cigarette, Steve noticed a light turning on outside of the smelly flat. This light indicating that the person inside had switched their heating on. Confused, because he had just knocked on that door and got ignored, he went back to investigate and speak to the man inside. This was 49-year-old Stefano Brizzi. Stefano Brizzi was born on the 26th of June 1966. He was the youngest of three children grown up in the Tuscany region of Italy. His parents were extremely religious. He and his siblings were raised as devoted Catholics. At age 15, Stefano realized that he was gay, and he would be described as being haunted by his homosexuality. Again, his parents were extremely religious. They would have never accepted a gay son, and at the time, the Catholic religion opposed homosexuality, making Stefano believe that he was living in sin, or even that Satan was inside of him. Stefano was an extremely intelligent man. He attended the University of Florence, where he graduated with two degrees in philosophy and language. He would go on to work as a social worker for a bit and eventually a computer programmer. He concealed his sexuality from his friends, his family, anyone who knew him personally, but he was still very much involved within his local gay scene, meeting up for sex and having sex parties, all that jazz. Stefano was very interested in sadism and BDSM, etc. At age 42, he would be diagnosed with both HIV, which is commonly transmitted during unprotected sex, mostly by men, and hepatitis C. Hepatitis C is transmitted when someone comes into contact with blood from another infected person, commonly from sharing needles or other instruments when using drugs. These diagnoses brought a lot of shame and embarrassment to Stefano. He decided that it was time for a change. He was going to have a clean slate and start again, and this is how he ended up taking the leap and moving over to London in 2012. The lifestyle and culture in London was like nothing Stefano had ever experienced. It was so diverse and accepting. Stefano felt like he could really blossom here and become the person he was always meant to be. He no longer had to hide away part of himself. He could be openly gay and just live without having his religious parents breathing down his neck. Stefano felt almost liberated. Here was his chance to truly start fresh. Being the intelligent man that he was, it didn't take him long to secure a well-paying job. He began working for Morgan Stanley, which is like a big bank. He worked as an IT consultant and a web developer, earning £70,000 a year. With inflation, that'd be over £95,000 a year now. He was really living the fast life, working his backside off and partying hard. It would be through all this partying that Stefano began experimenting with all different types of drugs. GHB, which when taken in small doses can make the person feel relaxed, euphoric, more social, and increase their sex drive. He was also using poppers, which can increase sensitivity and relax muscles. Poppers are commonly used during sex as it relaxes the muscles around the anus and can make anal sex more pleasurable. Alongside these, Stefano was abusing alcohol and all sorts of different heavy drugs, which resulted in him developing an addiction to crystal meth. At a point, Stefano recognised he was in the clutch of addiction and he didn't want to be. He reached out for help, attending a support group, and for a short while, he was making progress. During one of these sessions, he held a symbolic funeral for his addiction. He crafted a coffin and actually buried it, stating that this was him burying his addiction, he was going to move on, and he was ready to start a new life. However, crystal meth is one of the hardest addictions to overcome, and sadly, like so many others, Stefano became swallowed by his addiction. His visits to the support group became sporadic, and when he did pop in now and then, he would be sporting merch from his new favourite TV show, Breaking Bad. I've personally never watched it, but the gist of this show, I think, is it's following a man who was once a science teacher, but he's not teaching science anymore. He's starting his new meth-making business. I don't know if watching this show may have triggered Stefano or made him crave the drug again. However, this show does become relevant later, which is why I'm mentioning it now. In 2015, Stefano reached rock bottom. He'd lost his job at Morgan Stanley because he was so consumed by his addiction that came before everything else. He began to isolate himself, becoming a recluse. He sparsely left his flat, and when he did, it would be in the middle of the night. His flat, which was once nicely decorated and clean, became messy and dirty. His curtains were always closed, allowing no light or fresh air inside. Stefano would spend all of his time getting high as a kite on crystal meth and binge-watching Breaking Bad. The only social interaction that he got would be from men on the app Grindr. Grindr is an app predominantly used by gay, bi, trans people, but it's not like a dating app like Tinder. I believe that Grindr is more like an app that people use to find other people to have one night stands with. I don't think it's like a dating app. Stefano would connect with men on there and he would invite them over to his flat for chemsex parties. Chemsex parties are exactly what they say on the tin. It's a sex party where everyone involved uses an array of different drugs. This includes ketamine, which apparently minimises your gag reflex, and crystal meth, which keeps you awake, alert, and makes you want to have a lot of sex. So Stefano would host these parties pretty often, a couple of times a week, and they can last anywhere from a few hours to a few days. On the 1st of April 2016, Stefano was once again on Grindr, on the hunt, looking for a partner, when he ended up on the profile and talking with a man named Gordon Semple. Gordon Semple was born in 1957. He and his brother Ronnie grew up in Inverness, Scotland, and throughout their lives they were really close. Gordon was very much a family man. He would be described as popular, friendly. He was always someone who wanted to give back and help other people. He took part in several charity events where he would run marathons. He participated in fundraising for cancer research with his local pub, and all in all, he'd raised thousands and thousands of pounds for charity, which was something he was incredibly proud of. Gordon held a degree in accountancy, and when he moved from Scotland down to London, he thought he could join the Metropolitan Police and work within the fraud unit. He joined the force in 1986 and proudly served with them for 30 years. He would eventually end up working as a part of an antisocial behaviour team, and he thoroughly enjoyed it. On the 1st of April 2016, 59-year-old Gordon was working when he and Stefano began to talk through Grindr. Gordon sent him a message saying, quote, "Free now for a hot, dirty, sleazy session, agreeing to go over to Peabody Estate to have sex with Stefano." CCTV catches Gordon on his journey. He gets off a train at around 3 p.m. at Blackfriars Station and proceeds to the flat. This would be about a 15-minute walk. Even before Gordon's arrival, Stefano wasn't in the mood. He was sleep deprived, having been up for however many nights getting high, and he had been stood up from another man on Grindr, so he was already very irritable. When Gordon arrived at the flat, Stefano was disappointed because he considered Gordon unattractive, saying that he was ugly and that he was fat. What exactly happened after Gordon stepped foot inside of the flat is unclear, because it's all from Stefano's statements, which would chop and change as and when, so we don't know for certain what happened. It's believed that the men had spent a couple of hours having sex, maybe taking drugs. They definitely had been continuously trying to get more men over the flat to join them, and after a couple of hours, they got a bite. A man, who hasn't been named, arrived to Peabody Estate Trust around 7 p.m. He buzzed on Stefano's flat number and waited to be let inside, but he wasn't. Stefano came on the intercom and basically shooed the man away, telling him, quote, "We're having a situation here. Someone fell ill, but we're taking care of it, so our party is cancelled." It's highly believed that by this point, Stefano Brizzi has murdered Gordon Semple under 4 hours after arriving to his flat. At around this time, Gordon's partner of 25 years, Gary Meeks, was grown concerned. He and Gordon had planned to meet up at a pub in Dartford after Gordon finished work, but he didn't show, which was odd. There was no reason for Gordon not to show. The men lived together in Kent and they had a seemingly happy relationship. Even that morning, Gordon and Gary had planned out their tea for the night and what they were going to watch on the TV. They were going to eat shepherd's pie while watching a reality show that they had recorded. Of course, Gary was unaware that Gordon was meeting other men behind his back. Gary sat in the pub and he waited, checking his watch, and waited some more. He tried calling Gordon, but every single one of the 20 calls made within an hour and a half went unanswered. Gary Meeks would report Gordon missing the next morning, and an extensive investigation ensued. So, taking us right back to the start of the episode, it was on the 4th of April 2016 when the caretaker of Peabody Estate Flats and Steve Harris went to Stefano's door because of the foul odour radiating from his flat. This is Steve Harris in the Britain's Most Evil Killer series relaying what happened on that day and him confronting Stefano.
"I'll come back up here, I'm at the window, had a fag, then all of a sudden, when like people turns their central heater on, you got an outside flu. So I'm looking out the window and I thought to myself, well, hold on a minute, mate. We just talked at your door, you didn't answer. So how comes your central heating's on? I went downstairs on my own. I looked for the letterbox. He walked straight past, and open up the door. I said, excuse me, mate. I said, there's been a complaint about the smell in the block. So he's gone to me, well, I'm sorry about that. I'm just cooking for a friend. Fair enough. I went back downstairs to the porter and I said to him, don't bother calling up the police, he's in.
Following this interaction, knowing that attention is now being brought to him and that he has a decomposing body inside of his flat, Stefano begins to panic. On the 5th of April, he is seen on CCTV going into a hardware shop where he purchases things including a metal sheet, a saw, pincers, a putty knife, heavy-duty scissors, bleach, carpet cleaner, rubber gloves, and plastic buckets. On the footage, you can actually see that Stefano was taking great consideration into the plastic buckets that he wants to buy. He's looking at how thick they are, how heavy it is. At one point, he even puts his own head and shoulders into the bucket to measure how big it is, what can fit inside. I have posted a screenshot of this on the podcast's Instagram at TrueCrimeCaitlinPod, where you can go ahead and look at them. After making these purchases, Stefano rushes home and using his new tools, he begins to dismember the body of Gordon Semple. Using the saw, Stefano decapitates Gordon and then removes his limbs one by one. Then, taking inspiration from the second episode of the first season of his favourite show, Breaking Bad, Stefano places some of Gordon's limbs inside of his bath, which he has filled with acid. He was attempting to dissolve Gordon's body just as he had watched on the telly. The dissolving was happening a lot slower than Stefano had anticipated, and now, knowing that people can smell Gordon's body, he begins trying to dispose of him in other ways. On the 7th of April, Stephen Harris and his brother Martin go to confront Stefano once again. The smell isn't going away, it's getting worse, and it's almost unbearable. Stefano gives the same excuse as he had beforehand that the smell is just from Coogan, but this time Steve isn't having it and he calls 999. I'm not sure what he said to the dispatcher, but an ambulance was sent to the address. The paramedics who arrived described the smell as rotten flesh and they contacted the police. Two female officers, PC Savage and PC Edwards, arrive at the Peabody Estate Flats and knock on Stefano's door. He answered, opening the door, and was very clearly high as a kite. He was wearing only a pair of pink Speedos and some black aviator sunglasses. The overpowering smell of chemicals mixed with the odour of rotten meat poured from the door as Stefano opened it. The officers didn't even have to say anything to Stefano before he blurted out, quote, I've killed a police officer. Satan told me to do it. I told Satan I would do it at the first opportunity. This, coming out of nowhere, shocked the police officers, and right off the bat they thought, is he even telling the truth? Does he know what he's going on about? He was very obviously not in a clear headspace at that very moment. He continues on saying, quote, I've cut him up. I've dismembered him. He went on to say that he believed that the man was called Lee and that they had met on Grindr. It wasn't until after the murder, when he was rummaging through this man's possessions, that he found his police badge, which had his actual name on, which was Gordon Semple. The officers called for backup and began doing a cursory search around the small flat. It would be inside of the bathroom that PC Savage discovered the bathtub, which was filled with what we know is acid, along with body parts. She would actually stick her hand into the bath and later needed medical attention for the chemical burns that she got on her wrist. She peered into a black bin bag also found inside of the bathroom, turned to PC Edwards and said, quote, there's a carcass in the bag. Stefano Brizzi is then arrested on suspicion of murder and taken to Lewisham Police Station. What was found inside of the flat would be described as surreal. Mounds of flesh, fat, bones and body parts were found scattered all around the flat inside of bins, bags and buckets. This included a pelvis, part of Gordon's head, a hand and part of a spine. A rib that was found inside of the kitchen bin had bite marks in it, which would be the first indication that Stefano had cannibalized Gordon's body. This was further clarified when a cooking pot that was set out on the hob had fat in it. Inside of the oven, there was a pool of grease and fat, both of these containing DNA belonging to Gordon. Utensils, including a pair of chopsticks, also had Gordon's DNA on them, and one of the legs that had been sawn off of Gordon looked like it had heat damage. Stefano had tried to roast Gordon's leg. More flesh and body parts would be recovered from the drains. They had been flushed down the toilet. There were little sticky notes found all across the flat where Stefano had written about the devil and even directly to the devil. One reading, quote, "Satan, I call you forth." There was also a copy of the Satanic Bible found on his computer. More dismembered parts of Gordon would be found in the communal bins for the flats, and one of his feet would be found by a member of the public near the south side of the River Thames. During his interrogations at Lewisham Police Station, Stefano was laying everything out. He was so eager to talk and detail in everything that the sergeant present even reminded him that he had the right to silence. He could wait until a lawyer was there to continue talking, but he didn't want to. He told police that although he wasn't suicidal, he often prayed that he would just overdose, and on the day that he murdered Gordon, he had taken the most amount of drugs that he ever had. He would tell interrogators, quote, "On crystal meth, and the voice was consistent. It was a very clear voice. You must kill. You must kill. You must kill. I've always been against murder. I was out of my mind, because I must have been out of my mind. I am just mentioning this simply because the murder was dictated to me while I was high on drugs." When asked when the last time was that he had taken crystal meth, he replied, quote, "I took crystal meth yesterday when I was thinking I should get rid of the corpse. 4 days had passed by and nobody had. I was expecting. 4 days have passed and nobody had been or said anything. I thought I was getting away with it. I had nearly finished, but I took a shot. I was going to finish the job today. As you can see, this man was a very big man, and all I have left is 2 buckets. He tells officers that he had disposed of Gordon's belongings by throwing them into a sewer, along with a collar and dog leash, which I'll get further into in a minute. He then casually asked if he could have his phone back because he was expecting guests coming over for a chemsex party the following day and he needed to cancel. He then asked if he could have a shower because his bath had been unusable for some days. The trial began at the Old Bailey on the 16th of October, only now Stefano had recanted his confessions. His story was now this. Gordon, who was going by the name Lee, arrived to the flat for sexual intercourse. Gordon told Stefano that he wanted to record everything, which made Stefano feel uncomfortable and a bit paranoid. He said he thought that Gordon was setting him up. Setting up for what? We don't know. He then goes on to say that Gordon was also interested in BDSM and that he was wearing a leash and dog collar throughout their intercourse. Allegedly, Gordon was asking for it to be pulled tighter and tighter, which within this community, many people do. The lack of oxygen can heighten an orgasm, but if you're inexperienced, this can be incredibly dangerous. So Stefano was saying that this is what Gordon was asking for, and somehow the collar slipped and Gordon ended up dead. Both the collar and leash that was later recovered would show to have DNA belonging to both of the men on them. There is a problem with this story though. Someone dying from strangulation isn't instantaneous. It doesn't just happen if the collar slips. Being strangled to death can take upwards of 5 minutes, so likely they were using the collar and leash, but it's not likely that the death was from an accidental slip of the collar. Because of the horrifying state that Gordon's body was in, there wasn't really any way that a full postmortem could be conducted. However, the pathologist would say that strangulation was possible, but again, it's not instantaneous. The pathologist also said that Gordon had sustained a wound to his face prior to his death. So had there been some sort of struggle? Stefano then said that it was only when rummaging around in Gordon's belongings that he realised he was a police officer and that Lee wasn't his real name. I did read that in like one or two articles, they said that Stefano admitted that he was inspired by Breaking Bad to try and dissolve Gordon's body in the acid, but that was just in one or two articles. Throughout the trial, Stefano was very emotional. He would often be taken out of the courtroom because he was just hysterically screaming and crying. He was very distressed. His defense focused on saying that Stefano wasn't in his right of mind when he committed the murder. However, it was found that he had no psychiatric problems that would diminish his responsibility. This was argued back by the CCTV footage of him when he's in that hardware shop, showing that he clearly has some sort of capacity because he's taken time collecting all of these items that he needs to dismember Gordon and to clean a crime scene. He's really taken time and consideration into which bucket he wants to use. He's looking at how much he can fit in, how heavy it is, etc. The jury would deliberate for over 30 hours before coming back with their verdict, which was a majority verdict. 10-2, finding Stefano Brizzi guilty of the murder of PC Gordon Semple. He would be sentenced to life imprisonment with a minimum of 24 years to serve. He was also handed an additional 7 years for obstructing a coroner, which he admitted to. Just over 8 weeks later, on the 5th of February 2017, 50-year-old Stefano would be found dead by suicide in his cell within Belmarsh Prison. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. If you enjoyed it, please make sure to leave me a nice review and to follow the podcast wherever you're listening. I would appreciate that so much. You can follow the podcast over on Instagram at TrueCrimeCaitlinPod, where I'll be posting images relating to all of the cases and for any updates. Make sure you tune in again next week for another episode.